you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, because that's where we read chapter 11, a few verses, as Paul gives the instruction about 26 years after Jesus in Matthew, Acts 26, 26, gave the instructions before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is what we obey. And this is the thing, just for us to, just a few thoughts, and we're going right into the communion tonight. I preached many a message on this for the last 46 years. And tonight I'm just going to make a few comments just to remind us this is the ordinance God gave to his people. And I'm glad, I'm really glad he did, because we need it more so today and maybe in years past. We're in a fast lane, folks. We're breaking the speed limit in life. You just mark it down. We're going so fast, we have time for nothing. In fact, we're going so fast, we don't have time to do the things we need to do. And so what's happened is, if we didn't have this time that God said, stop and think back from the day you got saved until this day, is kind of a renewal. And I believe this event can make us as clean as it was the very day we got saved, if we do it right. And he's left us the instructions. This is important. You heard me say many times, this is something God told his people to do, not the world. And yet I'm amazed today that the people who name the name of Christ failed to take communion. And I believe it's going to cause a factor one day. And I've heard so many people say that the reason I don't take it, there's times in my life things are just not where I should take it. Well, that's the reason God said we'd have it, so you'd make things right and be able to take it worthy as far before the Lord. And to not do that is to disobey God. And I guess one of the factors that we see in this world, or we live in today, is that communion seems not to have any bearing on a lot of folks' mind. And we only have it here every fifth Sunday, so it's very important. Paul said this, and he's rehearsing what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 to the apostles that last night. He said, for I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my mind wanders, and since I don't have, I can't see the future as far as visions are concerned. I can visualize in my mind what God says about the future, but I don't have visions given me by God as some prophet or something. But I can see that when Paul said, I received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, when Paul was over in Asia Minor, no doubt, the Lord Jesus himself told Paul how important this was, and he saw fit to give it to all churches, the church at Corinth. Wonder why? As far as I know, the church at Corinth was the most cardinal church that he wrote to. And yet, he gave them this Lord's ordinance to partake of communion, because I'm guessing, probably anybody needed it, they needed it. By the way, if anybody needs it, we need it. Thank you, Brother Ennis. I love you, brother. Thank you. I love you too, Charles. Amen. So what is he said? For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Then the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, it's interesting, because if you go to the Gospel of John, you'll find and when he talked about this bread from heaven, that you had to eat it to be saved, they could not get it together. They thought it was ridiculous. They really thought it was cannibalism of some kind. And yet Jesus was talking about spiritual bread. I'm glad I learned early in my Christian life, there's a lot of things that God says I understand physically, and that he gave me instructions to see something physically, but realize there's a spiritual side that I need. And in this case, I'm glad that I see the spiritual side, that Jesus Christ is the bread from heaven. And when I received Christ as my personal Savior, and when you received Christ as your personal Savior, you partook of that bread that time. Whatever the date was, mine is September 27, 1959. When you partook of Christ as your personal Savior, you partook of the heavenly bread that we see talked about in the Gospel of John. And so he took that bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, this do in remembrance of me. And then after the same manner also, he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, the bread is remembrance of what Christ did. God forbid that we ever forget that there was no party for Christ to hang on Calvary. It was not a party. God, help us to understand that this is more than just a sweet story. It's more than just something that in the past it took place and we read about it and it's lovely, but on the other hand, didn't have a lot of meaning. Jesus Christ suffered excruciating pain. And when no telling, you and I don't even know. You and I have never fit any place in this life to experience the excruciating pain that Jesus felt. And I'm talking about not just hanging on the cross, but when God extracted eternal death from him for you and I, that's a pain you and I don't know anything about. That's a pain you and I will never know nothing about. Because only Jesus Christ was able to take that pain and whatever was needed when God reached into him and extracted eternal death from him and gives that to you and I when you and I trust Jesus as Savior. And isn't it a wonderful thing? All the things you and I go through with, we will never as a child of God have to face what he faced, because we couldn't pay our sin debt anyhow. And I thank God for that. And you can't, see, that's the thing about being born again. When you hear to get born again, and then God reveals to you what he has done for you, you don't have a lot of trouble in being what he says do. Now, Satan will fight it, and you may slip from here and there, but when you see that what God has done, then he comes along and he brings conviction, or he brings something in some form by our path. We don't look at it to push it aside. We look at it and say, Lord, help me obey this, understand this. Though my life may not be what it should be all the time, my heart's desire to be what God would have me be. And to do that, I must be in a submitted attitude, committed myself to him, and wanting to do the best I know how. Though in the flesh there are times we'll fail. And see, here's the thing. When you're trying to live for God, one little slip in the flesh, Satan will magnify it 100 times. It may be one thing, but that's all people remember. You got saved. You had a past in the past when you got saved. It might have been a terrible past. And I guarantee you, since you've been saved, that's all people can remember. And when you talk about being, oh, yeah, I used to know him. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that. They can't understand that when Jesus Christ died, his blood washed the past away. I'm so glad of that. Whatever one may remember me in the past, I know that, and the only thing that really matters is that God doesn't remember it. Amen. God doesn't remember it. So I don't care where a person's at. In my case, I was more religious than a lot of people, I guess, or some were a lot worse. And many people in this church has taught us to see their past. But at the same time, God forgot that. He forgave that. He's forgotten that. And the only one can ever bring it up is allow Satan to bring it up if he does bring it up. And by the way, I say if you've got any age on you, there are some things in your path you don't want to know either, and you're glad that God forgot it. So not me, preacher. Well, why do you need a Savior then?
That's good, preacher.
I don't mean you. I mean there's those in the world that does that. I mean, we still need Christ's blood to cleanse us even at communion. Because,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've not arrived yet. You don't have a glorified body yet. If you did, I could see you come through that door without opening it. So I know we're here headed home. You say, preacher, well, wait a minute. No, I'm trying to get you to realize what Jesus did for us is an amazing thing. And we're in a world so much that belittles it and tries to build it down. I'm afraid that the Holy Spirit sometimes has a hard time enlarging our heart to understand what God has really done for you and I, because he's so far away, he's invisible, we can't see him, and we have to have faith, and sometimes our faith shrinks instead of growing. And we find ourselves looking at a single eye at things and cannot get it so much, because a lot of times our time is so taken up that God has taken more than it having to take a place other than first place. But I'm glad this is the time he's given us in time that we can stop. We got saved, washed in the blood. Thank God the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sin. But from the time we get saved to every time we have communion, Prophet communion, I believe that this, if it's done right, you're clean at the time of communion when you take it, if you do it right, as you were the day you got saved. Because the blood of Christ saved us, cleansed us then, and the blood of Christ still has the cleansing power. And so here he goes on, and he said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the things, show the Lord's death till I come, or till he come. Now, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, I love this, and this is what we do at communion, Lord, judge ourselves, honest before God, put things under the blood, and then realize that God forgives. And he said, but when we are judged, now, if we don't judge ourselves, he said, when we're judged, and we're going to all be judged at the judgment of Christ one day for works. And I ain't worried about sin sending me to hell. Thank God, blood of Christ took care of that. You heard me say hundreds of times. But there is a work to be judged and a reward to be passed out or lost in those days. If we are judged, he said, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. And so tonight, as we come together, now, when you go back and just one thought, we'll go into communion. When he said, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and discerning the Lord's body. It's so easy for people to say sometimes, I'm not talking about the world knows nothing about. The world thinks it's foolish to come here and take a little juice in a cup and eat some bread and talk about it being something about God's body and representing his blood. And what they, but I'm talking about God's children sometimes who misunderstand this in a way. They say, well, that's the reason I don't take communion, because I'm afraid I'll take it unworthy. Well, let me ask you something, and may I ask ourselves this for someone ever say that to you in a polite way. Well, which is worse, to deny God and not do it, or come and do it the right way? I mean, which is worse, to disobey God? Because God said do it. So you see, God has put us, we who are God's children, the world don't have to worry about this because it has no bearing on them whatsoever. But as God's children, he's put us in a direction that it needs to be done. If it's not done because something's in their life, then he lets us know, you just added something else. And I say those who would say that, add something else to their life, because not only have they disobeyed God not to do it, but they're not willing to do what God says to make them worthy to do it. Isn't it an amazing thing? All we have to do is be honest with God and ask God to forgive, and he forgives us just like he did today with God's sake. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. You know, please wink at me anyhow if you don't throw something at me. Amen. What I'm saying to you is that it's important that we understand the seriousness of this time. And in this time, God can make us clean. We can go out of here as clean as we were today we got saved. And God does that same old way through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, where in turn was shed that you and I might have life, not only life, abundant life, not only abundant life, but eternal life. Amen? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God teaches us that we are to go be honest and ask to specific sins, ask God to forgive us. Then anything, there may be a room in your heart that's kind of held off as far as God is concerned. It ought to be open. The door should be open. And let God just come in and confess anything that's there. And say, Lord, I thank thee that you are my Savior. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in me and helping me. And I thank you, my Father, for loving me enough that you sent your only begotten Son. Thank you for what the Trinity did together for me to be a child of God. When we come to you, Father, honest, we try our best to be clean before you. Thank you. We don't have anything to do but come in and honest to you. If we confess our sins, you said you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the act's already been done. Just a matter of fact, that we come to thee and have that audience and that communication from the heart of a child of God who's honest before God and says, Lord, search my heart and help me be as clean as I'd be if you took me home right now to glory. Each one of us, I as a pastor, I as a husband, I as a dad, I need to come to the Lord because there are positions. You as a wife, as a mother, you're teaching a class, whatever you're doing for the glory of God, you ask the Lord again, make sure everything's where it should be, that where in turn you be in line with the scriptures at this time to take this worthy. It doesn't take a lot, just being honest with God. My Heavenly Father, tonight I come to you on behalf of this pastor, our church, and we come as a body of believers. Lord, we try our best to seek the Word of God, to find the will of God, and then find the method that you'd have us to use. It's our desire not to add anything or take anything from it, but be right in the center of your will. And I know from my heart, Lord, it's rare for a person to be 46 or 7 or 50 years in one place, and we're 46 here, and I know that probably many things have been said many times. But it's necessary when these times come that we might remind ourselves as a body of believers that this is what we feel God would have us to do. And we're doing it tonight for the glory of God. We pray that in this, these would come and slap Satan in the face. And we're saying, whatever happens to us, Lord, in this life, we just simply want to obey you. And we pray you'd give us that strength that's needed to know tonight all is well because we did it in the right way. Holy Spirit, if there's any way possible that you can exalt Christ through us tonight, do it, for we understand that's your job. And though there's a lot we don't understand how you dwell in us, we believe you do, because God said the day we got saved, the day we trusted Christ, he gave us his Holy Spirit. And we believe that by faith. And tonight we yield to thee to help us go through communion tonight the way we should, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.